To talk about the dangerous and destructive effects of sin. The reason why Israel was defeated at Ai was because of sin. Whereas God had given Israel a miraculous victory at Jericho, we see that a great defeat occurred here in chapter 7. The last time I spoke to you, Joshua and his Israelites had crossed the River Jordan and successfully attacked Jericho, captured and destroyed it. Can I have the first slide? Here's the Jordan River. On the east side, they had been camped, and then they went across the Jordan at flood stage, camped at Gilgal. Here's Jericho. God gave them this tremendous victory there. And from there, they went to Ai. And it was here at Ai Joshua suffered his first defeat. They saw a miracle here of God. They saw a miracle here of God. But something happened here. Not only didn't they see a miracle, they got beat. We sing about how Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, but the truth is that it was God. God who fought the battle of Jericho and won. Joshua now moved on to the next town of Ai, the next town on the schedule. You can imagine Israel riding high right now. All was good. They had this tremendous victory over a big city. God gave them the victory. God's on their side. They can do all things. Nobody's going to stop them. They had a process. They had a plan. And Joshua followed it. Here we read in verse 2, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and spied out. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people. But we see in verses 1 and 2, that something had changed. The process was the same, but there was something that was wrong. And interesting, Joshua didn't even know it. He's going into battle the same way he had gone into Jericho. But there was sin in the camp. That changed the relationship that Joshua and Israel had with God. And instead of being 2-0 on his record, he got beat. Why? Israel broke faith with regard to the devoted things. They took things for themselves that were devoted to the Lord. They disobeyed God. It's not that they sinned out of ignorance either. Well, we didn't know we weren't supposed to take this stuff. God had told them. And thanks to Phil, he's already clued you in as to when he had told them in his introduction to the scriptures. God had told them that things cannot be taken for themselves, silver and gold and every bronze vessel. And iron. They are holy to the God. They go into the treasury of the Lord. And the people obeyed that. That's when they were going to Jericho. Had the victory. Now as we look at further into Joshua. And we follow this story. It would be very easy to put all the blame on Achan. And he is the primary culprit. No question about it. However, if you look closely at the passage, God is talking about the nation in addition to Achan. The people of Israel broke faith. So how does it all fit together? What was Israel's sin? Achan is pretty easy to figure out. But the whole nation was guilty of breaking faith. And that's where the verse there. Israel has sinned. Not just one person. Israel has sinned. You have slide 2. What was the cause of anger, God's anger, towards Israel? There was sin in the camp, but not with just one person. There was a sin of complacency. Complacency. And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not have all the people go up. Let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people. The spies came back. And they said, "Joshua, we got this. This is a JV city, and we're wearing championship rings. We don't need to dress the whole team to go up against Ai. This one's going to be over in the first quarter. Just send a few skeleton crew up there. Victory will be short and sweet." Complacency. It's a feeling of contentment, self-satisfaction, especially when coupled with an unawareness of danger or trouble. Complacency is a mindset and a feeling. Complacent people do not see themselves as complacent. Yes, they are proud of their previous accomplishments and their successes, and they're content with what they have done and content with what they're doing now, and see absolutely no reason to change. The success they gain from past victories makes them overconfident, smug. They view themselves as superior to others. "We know best. We know how to do God's work. We know how to fight spiritual battles. We know that." Pastor's sermon today was a great lead-in to this sermon. The father takes the son who has problems to youth group and says, "You got to do something with this kid." And the disciples are thinking, "Yeah, we dealt with this before. We know what we're dealing with. We'll put him in this program. We'll do this. We'll do that. And he's going to be fine." Didn't work. Sometimes we think, because we've had success in the past, we'll just do the same thing and keep doing the same thing over and over. And it's going to work like it did in the past. And we see here in Scripture, and we see in the children's sermon, no, it doesn't always work. Complacency. "God is with us," Israel thought. "Why do you think we're so successful? God gave us the victory. Did you see those walls come down in Jericho? Did you see those people run? You know, we didn't even have to fire a shot, and we took that city. And now we got a small town." You see, complacency is often the product of success or perceived success. "God is on our side. We're going to run the table. All those towns, piece of cake." They broke faith with God. How can I say that? How did Joshua and Israel break faith? Through complacency. They trusted in their plan, in their strategy, and left God out. The disciples tried to heal that young man, and they couldn't do it. Jesus said, bring him to me. Here, the people tried to do spiritual war, tried to battle AI without God. They just assumed God was with them. God was going to bless them. So they executed their plan, but the plan was without God, and that's how they broke faith. I mean, take for instance, after the defeat, look what Joshua did. Look how he spoke to the Lord. They lacked faith in God because they trusted in themselves and in their military strength, in their belief that God was on their side and that every battle was going to be a slam dunk for them. And in verses 6 and 9, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Why did you do that? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. Oh Lord, what can I say? When Israel has turned their backs before their enemies, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your names, for your great name? Remember back in chapter 5, right before the battle of Jericho, Joshua is out on reconnaissance, checking out Jericho, and he ran into a warrior. This man showed up, this soldier showed up with a sword drawn. Joshua went to him and said, are you for us? Or are you for them, the adversary? Do you remember what the warrior said? No, neither. I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. This warrior wasn't about declaring sides. He was there to command the army of the Lord. And do you remember what Joshua did? There was only one thing he could do. He fell face down on the ground in reverence. He fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to God, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Now, contrast that account with what Joshua is now doing after the defeat. Why did you send us? We're going to get destroyed. You brought this people over the Jordan. Why did you do that? To give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. Have you heard that before? See, instead of bowing down and worshiping, taking off his sandals because he's on holy ground, Joshua is shaking his fist at God. Why did you do this? For the Christian, the defeat at AI teaches us how dangerous and destructive the effects of sin are. This defeat challenges false assumptions about how about easy victories in the struggles against temptation and sin. Making plans without God at the center of the plans will not result in success. There's a lot of Christians wandering around today aimlessly. Some of them bitter at God because their plans for their life have not turned out the way they expected. This was not on my radar screen. This is not when I went to college. This was not the way I had it planned out. I had this plan. I was going to graduate from high school. I was going to get a scholarship and I was going to go to college and I was going to major in this. And I was going to excel in that so that when I got out of college, I could put that on my resume and get a great job and make a lot of money. And then I'm going to buy a house and then I'm going to get married. Well, today that's often reversed. And we're going to live happily ever after. We'll have 2.1 children. Here's the plan. Is that God's plan? Talking to a number of guys that have graduated from college lately that played football for us. Rev, pray for me. My whole life was football, and now it's done. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know if I should go for my master's. I don't know if I should get a job. I don't know if I should enlist. I'm lost because football was everything. God has to be at the center of our plans. Sometimes God frustrates our plans to show us our need to get on God's plan rather than expect God to get on our plan. That's a hard lesson, isn't it? Joshua's looking at the warrior with the sword. Are you on my side or on your other side? Whose side are you on? Neither. The point there, you need to be in God's plan, on God's side. And that's why they suffered defeat. Other sins that we see here, covetousness, it's obvious, greed. Achan said, I saw this great robe from Babylon. I wanted it. The gold and the silver. I wanted it. You know, I'm in the Lord's army. I deserve to get some of the spoils of the war. Who's going to even miss it? I'm not taking a lot, but it'll help me and my family. This is what I want. Yeah, but God said you can't have that. I want it anyhow, and I'm going to get it. So he took it. Thievery. Then he lied about it. They have taken some of the devoted things, says the Lord. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. We have the next slide, slide 3. Here we see the dangerous effects of sin, the consequences. The consequences of transgressing God's covenant, defeat, death and destruction, cut off. 3,000 men went up from the people. Their first engagement, 36 got killed. And others were chased before the gate and struck down. What a defeat. It wasn't supposed to go this way. The hearts of the people melted and became as water. defeat, death. Therefore, the children of Israel can't stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. Wow. This is what we read in chapter 6. If you take the things that are devoted to the Lord for yourself, you are then devoting yourself to destruction. Joshua 7:11, I will be with you no more. You ever try to live life without Christ? Without God? Without prayer? Without the Word? Without His presence? I will be with you no more. I have no confidence in what I'm doing. I have no direction in my life. I feel I'm worthless. One of the points that we want to make here is the sin of Achan affected the entire community of faith as they lost their reputation. Up until this point, everybody knew that Israel and Israel's God were invincible. Look what God did in getting Israel out of Egypt. Parted the Red Sea. Rahab knew about that. All the people knew about that. Israel came across Jordan at the flood stage. God is with them. Now they're marching on us, said those in Jericho. Jericho was leveled. Who could stand before Almighty God? Who could fight with God and win? What nation can defeat God? Israel's God is a great God. We don't stand a chance. But after the defeat at Ai, their God puts their sandals on the same way our God does. No different. He's not the great God. And He's done some great things, but this little town of Ai ran this army right out of town back into the camp. Israel lost its reputation. The people cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. God says in Joshua 7, I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Joshua is crying out with the elders. It's interesting how God responds to him in verse 13. It wasn't a warm, fuzzy affirmation. Get up. Get up. Consecrate the people and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought near to your tribes, by your tribes. And the tribe that the Lord takes by lot shall come near by clans. And the clan that the Lord takes shall come near by households. And the household that the Lord takes shall come near man by man. And he who is taken with the devoted things shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, because he has done an outrageous thing in Israel. That's exactly what happened. And Achan surfaced. He was exposed as the one who broke the covenant. Verse 20, Achan answers Joshua, "Truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak of shiner and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted," key word, "I coveted." Reason for the defeat is covetousness. "I took what was not mine for myself. I wanted it, so I took it. I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers. They ran to the tent and they discovered the devoted things. Verse 25, Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us?" The Lord brings trouble on you today. And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire. Not just Achan, but we see that his sons and daughters were brought out. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to the day. You see the dangers and destructive effects of sin? Do you see why the scriptures talk about the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge? And it's unfortunate that evangelicals have watered down the fear of God to be reverence or respect. This passage helps us to understand the fear of God is because of who God is and what he does as a holy God to those who sin. That's a very sobering passage. And modern evangelical ears have trouble with this. You know, we would look at, what's the big deal about Achan? So he took a few things. What difference does it make? A couple of shekels here, a couple of shekels there, a nice new robe. Why is everybody getting bent out of shape? And why is this guy put to death for stealing a few things? Why don't they just say, give it back? Spend a few days in jail. Why such a ruthless condemnation? Well, we have lost the understanding of God's holiness and how little sins affect him in big ways. Slide number 4. Now, if we ended this message just like this, what a downer, huh? See a lot of, there's not too many smiles here today. But the Word of God does that to us. It really sobers us up to, wow, why did God put this in there? He wants us to know the destructive effects of sin. He wants us to know that one person can have a tremendous impact on the whole community. Am I the reason that the church is not growing? Is there sin in my life? Is there a complacency? That's all going to work out. How about others? That's where the application comes. It's like, gee, you know, how am I living my life and how does it affect everybody else? How does it affect my family? How do my relationships, how does my worship, how does my service, how does all of that affect other people? Am I bringing misery on other people? That's what this passage is talking about. It's a great lesson in understanding the effects of sin. Not only on the individual. In our country, you know, we're very individualized. It's me and Jesus. I can do whatever I want. It's not going to bother anybody else. It's none of their business. Until they're sobered up to see, I can't believe that my actions actually hurt the reputation of the church. My actions, or lack of, affect the people's spiritual walk. But the story of Achan leads us to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We travel back to Calvary and see the spotless, sinless Son of God nailed to the cross. He's punished for our iniquities. All of us can be viewed as Achans. All of us deserve to be punished by Achan, like Achan has been. But instead of us being punished, Jesus Christ is our substitute. Jesus Christ takes the punishment for all of our sins. And he pays off the debt. He appeases the anger of God. And instead of eternal punishment in hell, we are forgiven. We are raised up with Christ. God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace. We have all transgressed the covenant. We all deserve God's wrath. But all who believe that Jesus Christ paid the price for their sins will be spared God's wrath. Now that's the good news. Because we don't see God taking a soft view of Achan's sin. He's a holy God. He punishes the sinner. But we also see the mercy of God and how Christ suffers the justice that we deserve. Condemnation and death. So that all of our iniquities are removed from us. And his righteousness is given to us. So that instead of being an enemy of God, an adversary of God, we become children of God. That's why we had at the beginning of our service the focus on salvation and on giving thanks. Thanksgiving for, look what Christ has done. Can you imagine if Christ had not come? Can you imagine if he never died on the cross or rose again? Can you imagine suffering the way Achan did? But we don't have to. That's the good news. When we trust in Jesus Christ, all of our sins, all of the mistakes, all of the failures, all of that has been taken care of. So as we draw this to a close, as we examine ourselves, is there sin in my life that not only breaks the covenant with God, but affects others? We do what Achan did. He confessed it. Repented of it. But Joshua and the other Israelites, they believed. And that's the story for us today. No matter what you've done or didn't do, no matter bad situation that you're in, whether you caused it or not, there is help from the Lord. He will forgive and forgive forever. He will restore. He will raise us up with Him. And we're set free from that bondage of guilt and shame, the bondage of sin, the condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation in those who believe in Christ. Do you believe in Jesus? If you're struggling with that, the Holy Spirit is talking to you. See us after the service and we'll speak with you, pray with you. For God offers salvation to you and to us. Let's pray.